The Colindale Gazette is the new podcast from Brian and Roger's Dan Skinner.
If you've got a story for the Colindale Gazette, leave a message, and if we like what we hear, we'll get back to you.
I wonder if any of your readers would be interested in this. It's quite personal. I've never told anyone this, but I've never had much luck in life.
So search for The Colindale Gazette wherever you get your podcasts. You won't regret, you might regret it.
Cheese and Pickle.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Brian and Roger by Dan Skinner and Harry Peacock.
Hi Roger, it's Brian. Sorry I've been off the radar, mate, for a good few weeks now, but I've had an extraordinary chapter. I went to Hatton Gardens a few weeks back now to pawn some of my mother's jewellery. I went into the shop and there sitting behind this counter was this lady. Yeah, and we've become quite close. She's truly eccentric. She's her family was in the fur trade, and they made an absolute killing. But she's moved over into precious stones, and you may have heard of her father. She's Jaime Finkelstein, but her name is Stella. Stella Finkelstein. And I came into her shop and I said how difficult I was. I found it finding a parking space, and this sparked a very lively conversation with her. And before I knew it, we were having lunch at the Oyster Bar at Harrods, and well, after that we were on the Eurostar heading to Paris, which was great. The wheelchair access was made it very easy, and she's got a place in Saint-Germain, so we had an amazing couple of weeks. Got back yesterday because she misses her cats. She's she's quite a character, but we're in her place now, just off Regent's Park. She's head back to her office, so I'm just touching base really. Yeah, it's been great. She calls me her Shabbos Goy, which I don't really know what that means, but she's quite strict about when I can go out. So I'm not sure when I'll next see you, but we have incredible chats. I mean, I literally have to shout at the top of my voice for her to to know what's going on, but she's amazing. I'm sure you'll meet her at some juncture. Anyway, speak soon. Cheers, Roger. Bye.
Hello, Brian. It's Roger. So good to hear from you, mate. I thought, because I hadn't heard from you for quite a long time, I thought I'd done something to upset you. So I did leave quite a few messages for you, so I hope that didn't clog up your inbox or whatever it's called. But sounds like you've been having a lot of fun. Stella, she sounds great. I don't know the name. I've not heard of the Finkelsteins in relation to precious stones, but then there's no reason why I would have done. There used to be a Finkelstein that came into Frankie and Benny's. I didn't really know him. I think he fixed Vespas, scooters, things like that. But I only know that because it was written on his credit card, and I used to look at that and go, that's an interesting name. But he was nothing to do with precious stones. But yes, Eurostar, Regent's Park, Saint-Tropez, sounds like she's got a few quid. And she's in a wheelchair, you say, and you shout at her to hear her. So is this a relationship, or where are we with that? It's been quite a difficult couple of weeks for me, because one of Claire's relations has died, and it's sort of an opportunity to try and, you know, get in with her, I suppose, and I'm doing that, and I've offered to help with the funeral and arrange for everybody that comes over to stay in different places. But she's got such a huge Irish family that I think I may have bitten off more than I can chew on that one. Anyway, be great to see you soon, and possibly meet Stella if that's on the cards. Anyway, let me know, mate. Bye-bye.
Hello, Roger. It's Brian. I had a very, very funny night last night. I was wondering, actually, if I gave you the exact address. It does back on to Regent's Park, and I wondered if I could look out the window and I could just get some human contact, because I haven't left the apartment for 3 days now. She let me wash yesterday. Thank God, I was really starting to whiff. But I am beginning to question all of this. The honeymoon's over, as they say. She last night she always falls asleep after we're done. And I woke up and she was spraying hairspray in my eyes and my mouth, big industrial hairspray. And she was screaming, "Sheldon, Sheldon, you cunt, you monster, you monster." And she was sleepwalking, I think. And I shook her awake, which was very traumatic for both of us. And she told me she thought I was her ex-husband, and we cried together. It was very overwhelming. But she just won't give me the code to get out of the bedroom. And I don't quite know what to do. Look, I'm sorry you've got to house all those tenuous sort of Irish family members, but will they sleep on Anne's floor, or how are you going to? I'd try and help you, but I don't really know what to do. If I text you the address, do you think you could? I just need to make contact with someone, to see someone else. All right. Cheers, Roger. Bye.
Hello, Brian. It's Roger here. God, I think I've bitten off far more than I can chew, suggesting I house Claire's family for this funeral. I mean, obviously, I don't know where to put everybody. And so I suggested I put them in a hotel, and I approached the hotel to get a block booking, but they want a deposit of £1,500, which I simply don't have. But I don't want to let Claire down, and I don't want to think that I can't do this sort of thing. So I've told her, of course, I'll do it. And so now I've got about a week to come up with £1,500. I can't let her down with this because it's a funeral, and if they've got nowhere to stay for a funeral, I mean, oh, God. So I'm in a bit of a pickle myself, but it sounds like you have been taken hostage, mate. That's certainly what it sounds like. I don't know. I mean, that might be going a bit strong, but if Stella won't let you out of the bedroom without a code, I mean, she sounds like quite a frail person, dare I say, elderly person. Is there no way of wrestling her out of the way, or barging her out of the way and getting out of the room yourself? I mean, I'm happy to come to the end of the garden and sort of put my head over the top and wave at you at the bedroom, if that will help you. Of course I will, and just text me the address and I'll come round, and maybe I'll even knock on the door and introduce myself as your friend, as your best friend, and see if that see if we can't coax you out that way. But no, it doesn't sound like you're having much fun now. Is this a relationship that you think has got legs or not? Just putting it out there. Okay, mate. Happy to help as ever. Speak later. Bye-bye.
Roger, it's Brian. Look, I can get you the fucking money. I can get you 1500, mate. That's not a problem. Fuck me. Look, just whatever you do, don't come to the door, okay? Don't come to the door as yourself. I've got a plan, okay? I can get you the cash, and I've worked out the number on her safe. It's the year her son was born. It's just after the war. I remember her saying, born just after the war, so I checked all the numbers between 1947 and 1955, and 1947, blam, I was in. So there's about 30 grand in cash there, and in euros as well. But look, she doesn't know where I live, so we can, if you get in here, we can do a runner. I've got to get out. It was exactly the same last night, but we couldn't do anything because I can't fucking get hard anymore because I'm terrified of her. But it's awful, you know. But it happened again. She woke up at exactly the same time, hairspray in my eyes and my mouth. But it's all, she just screams now at me, but in Yiddish. And I say, look, I insist, you must speak English. You've got to speak English. And she just spits at me, and more hairspray in my face. It's fucking awful, mate. Eyes are killing. And she's just going bonkers, and this thing that she started talking about, but now it's all she rants about, is that the earth is flat, and she's obsessed with it, and she talks about it the whole time. She insists that the earth is flat, and it's this conspiracy, and that one day the truth will out. And I was thinking, if you can get hold of a suit, you could pretend that you're the president of the Flat Earth Society, and I thought you could come and say that your name is Elliot Lieberman, and that you're a dentist from Enfield, and that you're a friend of Eli Alcabaz's, and he's a close friend of hers. He's a silver trader, and that he has put you in touch. But also, he is also Alcabaz is convinced that the Earth is flat. And that'll get you into the apartment. And you just got to charm her and talk about how bad the traffic is and the weather. She loves talking about the weather. So just talk about the weather and obviously speak very passionately about how the earth's flat. And then let's say that you need a shower, because the only place to wash in there is in her ensuite. okay? And just say you need a shower or just to freshen up. And if you charmed her by then, she'll let you in. And when she opens the fucking bedroom door, then we run. I'll have the cash in an envelope. I've texted your address. But I can't go on like this, Roger. I can't go on like this. So we have to do this tonight. Okay, bye.
Hello, Brian. It's Roger. Sorry, mate. I didn't get a chance to explain what had happened there. So I knocked on the door and I came round and I said my name was Elliot Nieberman, dentist from Enfield, and I was a friend of Eli Alcabaz, the silversmith. And she said, yes, what do you want? And I said, I thought I'd just come in for a cup of tea, you know, say hello. And she accepted it sort of straight away. I thought, okay. As you say, you know, I think it's probably knowing Eli that's got me through the door. And she said, why are you dressed like that? You know, I was wearing a tracksuit. I couldn't get hold of an actual suit, so I just put a tracksuit on. And I said, I had to think on my feet. I just said, I've just been playing squash with David Icke. And she reprimanded me a bit there because she said David Icke's an anti-Semite. And I was like, oh, shit, I've blown it, you know. I know he is, but he's very interested, like myself, in the fact that the Earth is flat. And, well, she went off at that stage, you know. She's saying, yes, the Earth is flat, and of course it's flat. And, you know, if you look at the, if you stand on a beach, you just see it flat. You know, you just see a straight horizon and what have you. And I'm going, yes, yes, I know. And I'm the president of the Flat Earth Society, you know. And her eyes, her ears pricked up again. I said, that's why I've been playing squash with David Icke, you know. And she said, that's wonderful news. Are you planning on doing any research? I said, we're always doing research. She said, well, do you need any money? And I just thought, yes, I need some money. I said, I need £1,500. She said, what for? I thought, shit, what am I going to say? So I just said, because we're planning a boat trip to the edge of the Earth, just to see over the top. And she was like, yes, I want to come. I said, of course, well, £1,500 will get you on the boat, you know. And she said, wonderful, come with me. So I followed her, and she took me, you know, through a few corridors and up the stairs, and sure enough, beep, 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 we came into the bedroom, and that's when you must have just bolted out the door. Anyway, she went to her safe, got me £1,500 out, handed it to me, and then just locked the door. And then came back 5 minutes later with a very large can of hairspray, put it by the side of the bed, and winked at me, and that was it, and then just left. So I'm here in the bedroom now, Brian, and I don't know if you can, I mean, I need to get out because I need to book the hotel, and I need to speak to Claire. So if you can come and get me out, that would be great. Okay, mate. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hi, Rog, it's Brian. Yeah, mate, I can't sort of believe that worked, but I just, sorry I had to just barge past you, but she didn't seem to give a shit, interestingly. But I fucking sprinted out, got out the door, kicked Trixie, kicked Barbara. I think Rudolph got into the bedroom. And if Rudolph's still in the bedroom, give him a wide fucking berth, mate, because he goes for your eyes. Yeah, but look, you know the window at the back, there's bars through it, but you'd be able to slip if you put the money in a pair of her tights or something and just chuck it out. I know exactly where it is in Regent's Park, and I can pick it up, and I'll put that deposit down for you, mate, if you want. But yeah, I don't know how we're going to get you out, but let's just do one thing at a time. So just when you get a chance, she's probably not there now. She's probably gone back to the office, so it'd be a good time. Just chuck it out the window and I'll pick it up and I'll put the deposit down for you, mate. All right. And I'll wave up. We can communicate, you know. Just keep looking out. Do it in about an hour. I'm just lingering. I'm in Camden. I'm in Camden. I'm not sure how I'm going to get home. All right, okay, mate. Speak soon. Bye.
Written by and starring Dan Skinner and Harry Peacock. Produced by Mark Haynes and Joel Morris. This podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family. GreatBigOwl.com.